All right, so since I don't know if we can edit this, the Sea Agent Orange podcast with Justin Liam Hopkins, we're calling it in, as they say. Because, I mean, we probably should have done this when the weather was really bad, but I mean, it's probably gonna weigh you down because you got to drive like 30 minutes to get here.
45 minutes.
That's not, I mean, the last couple weeks, so I don't know, man. I don't know how you do it.
I think it's really funny that my label on the video is Justin Hopkins MSW because I do it so often with this work computer. But yeah, I don't know, man. I drive all the fucking time for work, so it doesn't really bother me. I actually find driving to be like therapeutic in a way. Like it just helps
Okay.
me like break down shit that I just did or whatever.
I like to go on drives, but I go on like country roads. But you, I mean, you drive, it seems like you drive a lot more than I do. Because I mean, you used to drive what, Chicago every day?
So when I my final year of master's, I was working full time, and I would drive twice a month to Mishawaka, Indiana, which is like 70 miles away from here, and
Jesus
then
fuck.
like
Is that
every other
Amish
day,
country?
kind of. It's all right. It's like a small city. Fucking Kylo Ren is from there. But that's besides the point. So I would go to
Adam Driver?
Mishawaka twice a month, 70 miles away, and then back at like 8 o'clock at night, I would get home. And on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I would go to the Chicago VA, which is like 2 hours away with bad traffic and like an hour and a half with good. So to beat the traffic, I would get up at 5:30 in the fucking morning, and I would leave by like 5:45 in the morning. And then I would get there by like 8 in the morning. Like,
Yeah, military busted your ass into shape by the sound of it.
yeah, I mean it just, you know, it just puts some pep in your step and helps you to organize with time. And if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. If you're late, you're fucked. So I've just lived my whole life by that credo, and it's served me pretty well so far. But yeah, man, driving doesn't bother me. I mean, I just zone out with like music or a podcast or something.
Yeah, that's usually what I, the only time I really even listen to music or like sit down and listen to it is either with the record player, but I haven't done that since I moved in here like 2 months ago. Or I'll just go driving because you know you have Spotify now, so you just play whatever the fuck you want. Because when I was really younger and I lived in town, I think I was like 11 or 12, and I would just walk. I got a portable CD player. This is like 2013. I could have easily had a phone. It had a portable CD player, and I'd walk around with rented CDs from the library. And I would walk around and listen to Dark Side and the Moon
Fuck yeah.
over and over again. And then it'd be The Wall, because those are the only two that I got from the library. So I'd just sit there and listen to them over and over again, just walk around in circles. And I don't know why, but that passed the time like not like butter.
Do you remember Zunes?
Zunes.
Yeah, it's like a Microsoft's attempt at making like an iPod back when iPods were only synonymous with like music.
Oh, I mean, that was
Like a
probably too
Zune, like
young.
it's a Zune.
What year though?
When I was in high school, so like
Oh, geez.
2008, 2009.
No, all I can remember from then is that mom had an iPhone, and I thought that was like insane. That didn't seem possible to me. She had like an iPhone 2 or something, but I don't remember Zunes.
Yeah, when I was a like between sophomore year and junior year, I got a Zune for Christmas, I think, or something like that, from grandma. And she couldn't afford an iPod, so she got me a Zune instead. And oh my
Okay.
God, the Zune was so much better. It was
Think
so
so?
fucking cool. Yeah, dude, it was like this really ed it was like really punk rock. It was like really edgy. It was different. It was like, hey man, you got an iPod? No, I got a fucking
Now
Zune.
look what I got.
It was cool looking.
My brother Christian gave me a fucking iPod
Your brother, Christian?
our brother. You're in the loop. You're around.
I'm there.
I see you. And he gave me an iPod, and I had like 12 songs on it, and I don't know, I didn't know how to fucking
It was
he
all
was
porn.
No, it was like three Led Zeppelin songs and like two Breaking Benjamin songs, and then like and then like
one Buck Cherry.
Then like, yeah, then like Against Me and like all these like 2007 like rock, just basic pop chart rock. And I was like, this is the shit. I was like, Christian has immaculate taste. I had no idea what the fuck. But I still can't believe this whole time. I can't believe this is what the FBI uses to track us. This camera right here.
I mean, I don't really care if the FBI tracks me. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not fucking, I'm not making drugs. I'm not selling drugs. I'm not making guns. I'm not doing anything that the FBI can spy on me all they want. It's just going to be a waste of tax money.
It seems, I think the only time they really spy on you is if you, or at least from the movie Snowden that I saw with Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing Edward Snowden, is that they only spy on you if you have like serious offenses. Like, you know, if you say you're going to kill the president, you master out a plan.
Type in like how to make fucking explosive filler out of like
how to bomb a church.
If you Google search how to make a nail bomb and churches nearby, it's gonna flag you. That's all I'm saying.
I can't fit my fucking Arizona sweet tea in my fridge, so I have to put it outside. So I have to intermittently open the door and make sure nobody's taking it. Nobody's gonna take it. I already know it, nobody's gonna touch it. But I still have to open the door and be like, "That's right. Don't even think about it."
So last time we recorded,
it was kind of a shit show. It was a train wreck.
Why do you think it was a train wreck?
I don't think we planned out in any way what we were going to talk about, because we were like, we don't need a topic. Oh, we'll talk about a topic a little bit. Record. And then we just started going. So, I mean, it didn't help that
you and Christian have been drinking a little bit, and the fact that Christian passed the fuck out every 5 minutes.
I think that was the kicker. I think that's what did us in.
And we're still going to use that as our fucking...
I'll save it. Called the off topics. B-sides.
We're going to use that picture of him pass the fuck out as the thumbnail for this episode.
We could just call it drunk history, because we just talked about Reagan and shit.
that actually works.
Yeah, don't even get me started on Kennedy. Which it probably didn't help that we just kept watching conspiracy theory videos, and then we're like, Zapruder film over and over and over again, just so we can fill in every gap that we thought we lost the last time around.
I think it was just funny that we ended the night watching The Fanatic.
Mm-hmm. No, it was a foregone conclusion. We had to finish the night something sweet. And I told you it was going to be, I hadn't seen it before, but I knew it was going to be the shit.
I really thought it was going to be awful, but like, I didn't think it was going to be funny awful. Get down. Fucking piece of shit cat. Get down.
Grab it.
Fucking, I got nothing to throw at him. All right, he's down.
It's lightsaber.
Yeah.
Your Christmas tree still up?
Fuck yeah, it is.
I had to put it down when I got two people said, "Why is your Christmas tree still up?"
Yeah, fuck other people. I like having the thing up. The light creates a good ambiance in like the evening time.
That's why I have, well, you already know, I have the fucking Christmas lights hanging right above me. But no, I was like, if one person tells me shut it off, I'm not going to care. But two people of the limited amount of people I bring into my household.
Your brothers and women, that's about it.
I basically just live in a dorm away from campus. If you think about it. But no roommate, so I don't give a fuck.
So I've been thinking every single day since I saw The Fanatic, I've been thinking about it in some way or form.
Fred Durst's directorial style.
Yeah. And the fact that like the only big name star, hey buddy, my cat's like fucking stalking me right now, was John Travolta. And Hey. Everybody else was like, I could not name them if you put a gun to my head.
Devin Siwa. He played Hunter Dunbar. He was in some fuck. I'm gonna look it up now. He was in some film that I think you'll know, but he was like really young, so you probably wouldn't recognize him.
Probably Black Hawk Down or some shit like. No, he was in Idle Hands.
Devin Sawa, sorry, not Siwa. He was in Casper. He was in Idle Hands. He was Final Destination. That was the one.
That's it. He was.
That makes sense.
Dude, he buffed up.
What?
He got buff.
Yeah, I know. Well, he puts the work in. His filmography is huge.
He was a skinny little fuck in the early 2000s and late 1990s. He looked like he could be like the bassist for Purple.
Dude, he has like, he's got to have like 55 fucking films and TV shows on here. NCIS, Real Detective, MacGyver. Category 4 Emmy nominated.
Well, I just think it's funny that like John Travolta's in his
Twilight fucking, years,
Steven Seagal stage where like he's just doing any and all movies for income, and I don't blame him. You know, he's probably saving up a nice nest egg, or he's blowing it on houses like Nick Cage does.
No, I think that Grease memorabilia just gets. I think he gets a fat check from everything connected to that every year.
That too, probably.
I mean, I don't know how that works. I don't know if he gets like merchandising out of it, or if he can his name
for it. Like, it depends, because I think like and I'm not sure. It's probably different now, but they either can sign it away for like a big check, or they can sign it to where they get like royalties, and then they get a little bit of money up front.
Yeah, because he has that and Saturday Night Fever and Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
like all of that. That's all pretty decent.
He's got a bad repertoire, man. He's got he's got a lot of good movies under his belt.
Then he hit a peak.
And then
he hit a peak. And then the peak came down. I'm singing in the rain.
Dude, I kind of want to watch The Fanatic again.
Singing in the rain.
Just because like I want to list down like all the different movies he referenced in the movie that he couldn't say out loud.
Friday the 13th, remember? He's tied up. He's like, I remember.
I just liked it when he like pretended to kill himself.
Oh yeah, like it's and he just plays.
Oh, stupid fuck! Oh my
god! He just plays it off like it's not a big deal.
Hey, I'm not dead.
I tied you up and then I played dead with fucking fake blood. Oh, gotcha! It's like a Sandler movie.
Get it! Stuck in the middle. Stuck in the middle.
Stuck in the middle. Get it? See, I think. I don't know. We could probably do a whole episode on just that fucking film.
I would love nothing better. That movie is so fucking hilarious. And then the blatant use of Limp Bizkit.
I don't know how you didn't see that one coming, man. It's Fred Durst.
It was like I told you before. Like, by the way, do I sound okay on this? I didn't even ask you at the beginning.
Oh, you're fine. You could if you really want, you can grab headphones just because they have, if you have the, you probably don't have the iPhone ones because they have,
fucking with it.
You're rocking it. You don't sound too bad.
Okay. Well, just like the blatant use of Limp Bizkit, like, okay, so there's a point where Devin Sawa is driving with his son through their neighborhood and they're in a fucking really nice BMW and Devin Sawa turns on the fucking, the radio and he's like, oh yeah, this is what we used to listen to back in the day.
Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit, and then he like tries to like josh his kid and his kid's like, dad, you're fucking lame. And then
like
they're
it
driving,
like it,
and they play it for like a good 30 seconds. It's not like tasteful in that it was on for like 2 seconds.
No, he lets it go,
or he's like trying to go through the radio and it comes on for like a millisecond and then it goes to something else. No, it's not tasteful at all. It's just purely like, hey, by the way, if in case you didn't know,
hey, I own all the royalty rights to Bizkit.
Creative director is fucking Bizkit's lead singer.
The thing, I mean, it's, you know what's sad is that like Fred Durst isn't that bad of a director. It was honestly just like Travolta mixed with the screenplay was just not adding up.
Well, the thing is, it was really hard to decide whether or not he was like, the character had like autism or if he had like some form of some like mental deficit.
He was on the spectrum, I think. I think that was the whole thing, as far as I'm concerned. But I mean, Travolta gave it his all one way or another.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever he was going for, I think he nailed it.
I can't help but think that like at some point during the movie, Fred Durst had to look at Travolta and be like, "All right, listen, John, tone it down a bit. Just tone it the fuck down a bit."
I mean, I think Fred was hyping him up like some bitch. I think Fred thought that was like the Oscar. That was that. Fucking Coppola in the background. like Kurosawa was just.
I'm gonna go to my trailer real quick. He comes back with that fucked up haircut.
Fred, you thinking? Keep thinking. I just imagine Kurosawa's like behind the camera and just, it's fucking Bergman, Tvosky. It's just these,
Kubrick.
Yeah, Kubrick's just like beating Shelley Duvall. meanwhile, Travolta just gets a haircut and he's like, nailed. Got it.
Okay, John, we're going to do a take 238.
Take 300 of the bicycle scene. No,
bad fucking mood and you know it, just send me that scene.
Dude, I'm trying to find, you have no idea how hard it is to track down any type of Getty images related to this movie.
How many times did we like rewind
four,
that
four times watch? Four full times we woke up Christian. Christian was sleeping, and the third time we did it, Christian was like, "What's so fucking funny, guys?" And I was like, "Look what's happening on the fucking screen."
So for anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, there's a movie called The Fanatic,
mm-hmm.
and it's directed by Fred Durst.
And written.
Biscuit.
And executive produced.
And it stars...
Directed, written, and executive produced by the lead singer of Limp Bizkit,
and Fred Durst. And it stars John fucking Travolta from Grease and Devon Sawa from fucking The Final Destination movie.
Hey, man. Those two big names. I don't know what you're talking about. If it's two
girl and a bunch of other fucking extras.
I don't know.
If you have the time, you should go fucking watch that movie immediately.
No, that's the thing is it's only an hour and a half, but man, once you start watching it, you have to keep it brings you in.
You have to finish it. Like you owe it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'm still learning this fucking audio here. But I think I've got it. Because, I mean, if you can hear me through the microphone.
Yeah.
A1. I mean, a technical wizard. And the cool thing about Zoom is that they automatically put in, like, equalizers for our vocals.
That's what's up.
So that sounds halfway decent. What's up?
That's what's up and shit.
I was going to ask you if you wanted to, if you could, the camera might be better on your phone. But, I mean, we're already rolling.
Fuck that.
Fuck it.
I mean, I have like two. I have two tablets. I have my work computer, and I have my work phone and my personal phone. So I'm not at a loss for technology. It's just I prefer to use the laptop just because like it's easy to like put up on like like a table or like pillows or whatever, and just fucking.
Gotcha.
It's just easier for me. I'm an old man. You gotta cut me some fucking slack.
Oh, you're fine. I mean, our grandfather just got his first touchscreen phone like a year ago. And every time he texts me, he puts "from grandpa" at the end of every text. And I'm like, this is adorable.
God, fucking cute.
He texts me, he's like, "Your furniture still on? From grandpa." And I'm like, "Yeah, grandpa, it's working fine."
He puts a signature at the bottom, basically.
Okay. I'm like,
the notary of Hugh Hopkins.
Yeah, it's better than our mother who just puts, she puts, "Hey, dot 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 dot, how you doing, dot dot dot, hope it's okay, dot dot, love you, dot dot dot,
heart eyes,
yeah,
dot dot, heart,
dot dot, you got $3,
yeah, dot dot, you have $20."
Hey. Everybody's got to
be wary of her saying, "Hey, I love you," because if you answer a request for $20, it's going to follow.
Hey man, everybody's got a mother. Relate one way or another.
That's ours.
She ain't listening to this. No way, no how. She knows how to access this type of.
I guarantee you, if you like send her a link to these, like,
oh my god,
she would listen to like this one, and then she'd be like, "It's great," and then get to this part, and be like, "It's great." Like she just doesn't listen.
No, she wouldn't care.
3 minutes.
She'd be like, "So you guys just watch this in your own." No, mom. There's 13 people on the internets who do it. Okay.
Yeah, we hire men to do this for us.
Our very first episode got 41 views.
Really?
Yeah, I'm gonna share the analytics. I mean, do you give a fuck if I share the analytics with the people who's providing them?
I don't give a fuck.
We have 41, and then we had 16 in episode 2, and then 14 in episode 3, and then 16 again in the GG Allin episode.
Those are the rider dies.
I think the GG Allin episode should be a historical landmark thus far.
Yeah, I honestly think it is our best episode.
Just because, well, it's just the content that we were presented with. All we had to do was just read it. And if you could read it without fucking up too bad, you're doing your job, because that's all you need to hear if you're a listener. I mean, I'd listen to it.
Once again, like, I really wish I had seen the video of him with his dick out. And then, like, the Todd Phillips
documentary. Todd Phillips production. Thing.
Yeah, I wish I had seen that before I did that podcast, because, goddamn, you really didn't do enough justice in telling me how exactly small his dick is.
I mean,
it is, like.
To me, it all makes sense. it's just the button, man.
It is. It's a mushroom amongst the grass.
But to me, that makes it all make sense, you know? Now it makes sense. His dad, nothing to do with it. His brother, nobody. It was just that. I think didn't Hitler have the same thing?
I don't know. I know that Hitler was his part Jewish in some way or something like that.
It's hilarious. If you had to go back in time and kill baby Hitler, would you do it?
Well, no, because the modern world has been shaped by those events, and to take those events and change them. You'd be fucking up the timeline. So, like, let's say you change that event. Great-grandpa Clark, George, doesn't go to Europe, and instead he becomes a farmer or a chemist sooner than he did, and he ends up, like, hurting himself, and then he can't have kids, and then our grandpa's never born or something like that.
Well, yeah, it'd be I just mean, like...
Just that unique...
Without butterfly effect, you know.
Without consequence.
Yeah.
No.
All you're doing is just in the moment is just saving 6 million lives or killing a baby.
Well, that's the thing. If you're saying there's no butterfly effect, then there's no like.
You know exactly what I'm talking. You are diving into this way too harsh. That's you know exactly.
That's who I am.
Justin, would you kill a baby?
No.
Okay. Good deal.
I wouldn't kill baby Hitler because I couldn't bring myself to kill a child like that.
Nah, I just wish he would have went to Argentina and then we found him. Could you imagine if the Americans found him in Argentina like 10 years later? Like 20 years?
I think Israel would have found him first.
If somebody would have found him, it would have been, you imagine the news, it'd be a landmark in history. We found him. It's just him hanging in the fucking streets of Italy or some shit.
Argentina?
No, I'm saying if the Italians found him after in Argentina. Oh. Mussolini is a whole different beast. They actually did that in the fucking street.
Yeah, they did do that.
They put him and his wife, and they gave everybody a stick, and they said, "Go ahead, go ahead."
Fucking hung him and her.
That's upside down. That's how you treat war criminals.
That's how you treat fascists.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're still war criminals, and
yeah,
I mean. You probably, I'm going to be honest, you've shake hands with at least one or two in your time. War criminals. People have killed innocent people during a duty.
Man.
You don't think you've never shook hands with any drone strike operators or any presidents or anything?
Hey, man, just because I shook hands with Obama doesn't mean that I...
He's better than Bush.
Okay with his fucking drone shit. His flying assassin droids.
Well, hey, if it was Bush, you probably would have, I bet you would have walked right past him.
Well, no, I was
in the moment. You have to.
I was on duty, and like he approached me, and, like, no, you, and he just shook my hand, and then he fucked off with a sea of black suits. So George Bush probably would have chest bumped me. He wouldn't.
Yeah. Hey, son. Hey, son. You know what I got?
Hey, I just told them fuckers it's hard to put food on your family. How about a chest bump, brother?
Hey, son. You know I own Texas. You know, why Texas you is mine. Like Clinton, that's Clinton. Damn it. I can't do a. How Bush do you do a Bush?
Approaching me in a fucking flight suit that he didn't earn. Just
no,
like,
he's just wearing it. He's wearing it like it's a team's jersey.
He's got a shirt on underneath that just says like mission accomplished.
It says Houston.
I just fucked this hooker in the back seat. You want to come?
You want to come? Get in quick. Don't tell my dad. And Harold and Kumar, when they meet him and they smoke with him, and he's like, don't shit, it's my dad. I'd love to imagine that's actually how Bush is, but I know he's not. That'd be fucking awesome, though. He's like, shit, my dad's gonna be pissed. Found out I'm smoking the ganja.
He definitely has done coke, though. Like, I think he got in trouble for that shit at some point.
I think his dad whooped his ass into shape to be president.
I could see that, too. But he was also the governor of Texas for a little while, I think.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, if you're a fucking Bush, you're going to get the, you know, you're going to get the gigs, but I'm sure when he was younger, he's probably a little sporadical, you know.
I'm upset right now, so I'm going to look him up because I did my whole entire first episode of History by Hopkins was on like George Bush.
Are you still running with that?
I haven't seen you. I'm taking some time because I found myself more and more wanting to do like the research and like the idea of like having a scheduled podcast kind of like it just makes me feel like I have to like cram and I don't want to do that.
No, it's I mean don't look at it like an assignment, you know.
Yeah, as I was doing that and I looked up because I had an episode I was going to do on slave catchers for Black History Month because like I thought that's such an interesting and like really strange profession for something to pop up in that kind of like microeconomy.
That's a good one.
I was really getting into it. And then I noticed like parts of it that were like, I was really into the Brazilian side of it. Cause that shit really existed in Brazil. Fucking with the lighting.
Does that look better?
Turn on the light, man. You look fine. Quit being paranoid. Listen to your brother. Okay. Don't.
In Brazil, you're saying
you're gonna fucking blow me off for lighting. Is that what it is?
No, I'm
fucking with you. All right. Calm down.
I'm trying to get the Coca-Cola sign in. Cause it just says yes.
With a hot chick from the 50s.
Fuck yeah, exactly. This was your rage poster, and then it was Jacob's rage poster, and now it's my rage poster.
Yeah, and someday it'll be your child's.
When I introduce him to Rage Against the Machine. Son, did you know you can go to Harvard and play in a rock band?
But I was we're getting way off topic. I
apologize.
It's okay, dude. I was in the Brazilian like slave catcher stuff and like I felt really obligated to post a video and like I put it together what I could and I listened to it and it was just complete shit because I just sounded really rushed.
Yeah.
So I just deleted that one and instead I'm working on an episode about Black September with the Palestinians that took the Israeli Olympic athletes hostage and the early 70s and then like killed them and then like Israel came after them after that and it's just a really interesting little event that happened. But yeah, I'm still doing it. I just don't think I'm gonna schedule it. I'm gonna be more like whenever
you want. Yeah, whenever you have a passing moment.
God damn it, Cat,
you gotta bring him on camera.
No, I don't. I'm gonna throw this fucking I got him this fucking little container of like wet cat food.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, if dad eats a nice big awesome meal, he gets to eat an awesome fucking meal. And he's being a dick.
You gonna be all right?
Yeah, I'll be all right. But I
owe you money. So have you ever read the autobiography of Malcolm X?
No.
Well, the film Malcolm X is based on it, and it was I didn't know this. It was Malcolm X sat down at a table in, I think, Mississippi, and like right like months before he died. He sat down with Alex Haley, who's the creator of Roots, or he wrote Roots, you know, the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sat down, he told him his whole life story, and Alex Haley wrote it all down, and then they published it as a book. And I read it during summer school 2 years ago. And when I tell you that this dude lived more life in like 35 years than you than any man in 100, it was utterly insane. The KKK came and came and killed his dad in cold blood in his home. And his mom was left with like five children, and they all had to drop out of school and get jobs. And then she ended up going to a mental institution.
And then he went to prison.
Yeah.
Joined the fucking Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, you're going way down the road though.
Yeah.
Cause he was going zoot suits in Harlem, and he was faking being an army officer, he did something to avoid getting drafted, and then he would fake being an army officer in the East Coast to get like free meals and shit. And then at night he'd wear zoot suits and deal crack and black hookers and shit. But and eventually got caught for it. But
we just call them hookers, Liam. You don't have to.
Huh?
We just call them hookers. You don't have to be so specific.
No, I called them. Oh, well, no. Well, it was very. In context of the book, it's very specific that they're black hookers, because it was white. It was wealthy white businessmen would come into the like depths of Harlem, and then Malcolm X would be like $35, and you'd point at all of his women who were all, the whole idea was that it was white dudes, you know, getting with black women, which is like voodoo, no go back then. And it was same thing with white women and black dudes. So it was very interesting. It's very interesting little thing he talked about there. And he was just a pimp. And he was, keep in mind, he's like 18. He's like 19. It's like insane.
Well, just the fact that he like became such a huge predominant figure in the Muslim Brotherhood. And then like after a while, he became like disillusioned with them. And then he kind of like rejected them. And that's what got him killed in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Louis Farrakhan, I can't tell you. Like I haven't done so much research in it, but I just know that he was like a little bit more like hardcore than Malcolm X was. So it's kind of weird, but like I've always kind of wanted to delve into that, but it just, I need to delve more into it.
It's, you know, it's obviously it's interesting, it's empowering, but it's also just sad because like all these guys, it's just, you have to look at the amount of torture that they fucking got in their existence. And then they all died.
Fascinated, yeah.
Yeah, because like Malcolm X was like an edgier, harder version of MLK, and they both got shot.
Well, I mean, everybody knows this, but in X-Men, Magneto and Professor X were both based off of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, and because like Martin Luther King was more the peaceful, like integration side.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Professor X was like, mutants and humans can live together. And then fucking Magneto was like, no, they can't. And then he was all for violence and just to make sure of it. And he also, something I didn't know until I researched it a little bit, Malcolm X was for keeping the races separate.
Yeah, he was very, very, he was more of like pure black empowerment as like a social class within itself.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Black supremacy sort of thing.
Kind of. It's like we're equal, but we're not the same. That makes any sense. It's kind of like he wanted to be on the same level, but he didn't want him to be integrated, and he also wanted to punish Whitey, obviously. But that, I mean, that seems fair to me.
I see no issue with that.
I could see exactly why, but especially at that time. But it's interesting because he said he went to prison and he just read every single book that they had, pretty much, and then he became like the holy father of the prison. And you'd hold all these like meetings and conversion therapy to try to make you Islamic. And then he got out, and then, you know, that everything from there, but it's very interesting shit especially from a guy who had a fucked up childhood, like he did in the South in like the 20s.
Yeah.
Not even the 60s, the 20s.
Something I found out about him that I like kind of like endeared me to him more than I already am. He actually was a redhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was like really unique and cool.
He had to conk his hair to get it how he wanted. And yeah, that's like a process where you essentially like burn your hair to make it a dark, or I don't know if it makes it a darker color or if it curls it or what it, I don't recall, but it's something like that. I sound like such a fucking douche canoe explaining it like that, but it was just something.
Well, I don't expect then. You or me to know anything about how to style or change.
Hey, I've used Murray's before though.
Yeah, we have.
Not too far off.
Yeah. I was actually about to buy some Murray's at Walgreens when I was picking up my medications. Cause like my hair is like super fucking grown out at right now because.
Yeah, bro. You looks wild long.
I don't have a fro. It's just, I hate having to style it when it's like longer because like, it's just, I get banana curls or like, it just gets super wavy and I hate it. So I was actually looking at some Murray's when I was at Walgreens and I was like, fuck, I could just slick it back. But then I'm just like, I just need to go to a fucking barbershop, dude. I don't need to do that.
Are you just
nice?
Yeah, dude, I know. It's because my throat has been jacked up all day, but
yeah, that's what it is.
Are you just saying this because I have long hair?
No.
You just want me to cut it?
No, I need to cut mine because
the milk looks all right.
Fucked me up and like it fucked me up in the fact that I've been conditioned now to like if my hair touches my ears, it's like unnerving and I need to have it like cut and nice and yeah.
So. Yeah, I totally get that because I've gone through, I usually go through like phases where I'm like, I want short hair all the time now. And I'll go a really, really short beard. And then other times I'm like, scruffy look it is, man. I'm like, I just get too lazy with it. So I'm like, it's a
look. Yeah, I like now. The curl look you have. You got a nice thing going on. So don't fuck that up.
Is it distinctive?
It's you. It's something.
That works. That's good.
That's good, Murray.
Real good. Yeah. Or is it the Sunshine of Love starts playing? It's just he's giving Murray the death look. We reference Scorsese movies like they're going out of fucking style.
Yeah, I don't know if,
and they're not
close if we didn't have like Scorsese films to bind us like glue.
Well, in my opinion, he's like the one who's holding down. He's the only like real cinema director, like real film director. He's like, or like the only one that's connected to like the Kubricks and the, you know, Kurosawas and the Bergmans and all of them. So, I mean, compared to like all the rest of them have moved on and they're so far in CGI, even Tarantino to an extent is more of a new wave guy, 90s and whatnot.
So I'm currently looking it up. Wikipedia doesn't tell you if George Bush Jr. had a cocaine problem, but I will find it.
No, you fucking find out if HW had a problem. Oh shit. Don't what number was it? Don't tell 39. What number was his dad? What president's 40? I think he was like 41. Because he was 45.
Okay, do the fucking math yourself.
45, 44, 43, 42. Don't tell 41.
Okay, so according to Snopes, which I do not trust, George Bush Jr. snorted cocaine at Camp David while his father was president.
Didn't inhale.
And his dad was in the room.
Oh, fuck yes, dude.
I could just picture him like, all right, dad, so how are we going to solve this here crisis in the Middle East? And his dad's probably just like, now, George, I can't have you doing that. We got the fucking
Junior. Yeah. Get your brother Jeb.
Get Jeb in here. Jeb,
I want to talk to Jeb.
He's got a better head on his shoulders.
Is Jeb's his brother, right?
Yeah. Jeb is the governor of Florida.
Yeah. What's Rubio? Is he like senator? I don't fucking know. Congressman? Fraud?
I do know that.
Sham
has a, I think she's either a, yeah, she's Mexican. He has a Mexican wife, like,
oh yeah, yeah. Mexico. That makes sense though.
And all the Hispanic population of Florida calls Jeb Bush Jebcito because he like he really caters to that basin, and it's not like catering, but like he actually cares about that group because his wife's Mexican, and I think that's like cool, but at the same time, it's like he's a bush, so it's like hard to
trust. I'm not Republican, but I can honestly say that some of them are hilarious.
I mean, there's good, bad, hilarious in all political spectrums.
Even though I hate Reagan and I hate Bush, but I still think they were fucking. I don't think
there's been a podcast to date with me and you where one of us hasn't shit talked Reagan. We should just rename this the I Hate Reagan podcast.
All right, I'm sorry. I won't bring up Reagan.
No, we should definitely, every time we want to, we should piss on his grave.
But I just think it's still, like, him and Bush are, like, hilarious, I still think, when you read stories about, or, like, and Nixon, obviously, they're absolute fucking hoots. There's no reason for them to hold any sort of power when you read about some of the shit they do. It's absolutely asinine.
Seven of the greatest writers in the world together.
Oh, my God.
Then, like, okay, make a president, but make him, like, really, like, a shitbag president. I guarantee you, out of every single president they could write, none of them would come close to the reality of, mm-hmm. like, or Reagan or fucking Bush.
Fucking Nixon, when he was getting, he was him, and even, and it goes for the same with Democrats for the most part too, but it seems like it's just like the big three is, or the big four, it's like the big four of thrash metal, you know what I mean, except it's the big four Republican. It's Nixon, Nixon, Reagan, Bush, and Trump. Pretty much Trump's like it. Trump shot to the top of the list, but enough about politics. We're not going to be those guys.
I mean, we already are.
Yeah, but we're not exclaiming that we know everything, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean,
we're not serious about it.
I don't think anybody who listens to any podcast like
takes it serious.
Take anything seriously. I mean, it's just this person's opinion. I mean, unless it's like Dan Carlin or like some shit like that where like they're like historical researchers and shit, and they take months, even years sometimes, to like put together a presentation podcast.
Yeah, it's all conjecture. So, I mean,
yeah, it's all just our opinion on things. And we just happen to hate most shitbag Republican presidents.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people should. And that's not just speaking on a political basis. That's speaking on a human, you know, a human basis, just being a person. You should hate these people. But it's whatever. What are you going to do? Patriotism brainwashes.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What? Talk to me.
Issues.
Issues. Right in the corner. Corner. Just go ahead. Get dressed. Your mother. Henry. Henry, what are you?
What's up? Just a weird little fuck in real life.
That dude, he's really carved like a personality that is so recognizable within itself. It makes no sense to me. You would know, whether it's his voice, it's his appearance, it's his film, it's anything, you know, it's Joe Pesci.
I was listening to Louis C.K. get interviewed by Marc Maron.
Oh, that's classic.
One of my favorite things he talks about is he was doing a show called Horace and Pete, which is really fucking good, and it's on his website, and it's also on Hulu if you look it up. And he wanted Joe Pesci to play his uncle in the series, and Joe Pesci was like, I'm not going to do that, but I'll give you advice on how to produce it. And he said he learned so much. He said he was smoking cigarettes, and he's like, don't let anybody ever tell you these are fucking bad for you. They're lies. And he said, like, you know, never eat a pussy, because, like, you can't put yourself over on another man if you ever put yourself lower than a woman. Like, he had some really bullshit sexist fucking reason. It was weird. And Louis C.K. was like, can I please use that in the series? Like, yeah, sure, I don't care.
George Carlin, in one of his last stand-up specials, had a bit where he would talk about how we should, it was like how God is like complete, like the idea of God is bullshit. He's like, I go up and I pray on my mantle to a picture of Joe Pesci. You understand?
Yeah, I remember that. Especially get shit done.
Yes, exactly. This is a man who has no bullshit, and he is a living person right in front of your eyes. Oh, man, he looks fucking... I know in The Irishman, he looked decent, but he actually, in real life, he looked pretty fucking rough.
Well, he was covered in makeup and CGI.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I feel like Scorsese really needs to, like, freshen up his cast. I mean, I love those guys, but, I mean, you can only make so many of that movie. I mean, and I know that Scorsese makes other movies, too. Like, his movie Silence is so fucking good. And I probably...
Yeah, that one's got Liam Neeson and Andrew Garfield and Adam Driver.
Yeah.
It's got a ton of different guys.
Adam Driver, who is Kylo Ren, who is from Mishawaka, Indiana.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Scorsese's new film, The Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
That one actually has...
Jesse Plemons.
I was about to say, it has... DiCaprio still, and it has Plemons now, and it also has, it still has De Niro, but what are you going to do? But it has,
I thought it was funny that Plemons had like a little tiny role in The Irishman.
Yeah. Maybe he's, do you have any, but dude, this could be his four way into a big star if he can nail this. It's a Scorsese movie and it's a Twilight Scorsese. So he's going to have all the budget he wants. He's going to have the top notch writing. He's going to have top notch everything. So it's like, dude, you are so lucky to be getting this opportunity. So he might win an Oscar out of it if he can pull it off, right?
He's married to Kirsten Dunst.
Yep. He was in Breaking Bad.
Have you seen Kirsten Dunst lately? She's fucking bad as shit.
I love Kirsten. I've loved her since fucking Spider-Man. Yeah. Even before that, she was Marie Antoinette.
I just remember her in Spider-Man, like,
oh yeah,
dime piece already. And then like
she was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Have you seen Fargo? Like the series?
No.
Well, the second season of the series is really fucking good. None of the seasons are the same. They all take place in different time periods with different people.
Like a True Detective type thing?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, actually, exactly. And Kirsten Dunst is in the second season, and she plays... I didn't even know it was her. She plays the best middle-aged white lady ever in North Dakota in the 70s.
Fuck yes, dude. She's an amazing actor.
Yeah, she is, and really good.
So is Plemons. I mean, he was fucking... He's been... Everything that I've seen him in, he's been great. Because he was in Breaking Bad. He was really good. He was in Irishman. He was really good. There's something else.
He was in Vice, too.
He's in Vice.
The narrator.
No, I didn't love that movie. He was good in it. I don't know, man. I think it was because when I worked at Family Video, we had it, like, constantly going through. And I saw it a couple times, and I just didn't get it. Not that I didn't get it, but I just didn't think it was that great. Compared to like how people, and it also doesn't help to have people every day going like, this is a great movie. Cause then, you know, I'm sitting there like I'm in a tour or something, you know, I'm like, no, I think Forrest Gump is the one you're going to want to watch.
Forrest Gump.
Gump. Like running back the Alabama football team. Or no, he meets Kennedy.
He does.
Remember, he's like, I gotta go pay.
He meets Nixon. He meets Nixon.
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yeah, he actually does meet LBJ. And then I think
he meets everybody.
He does.
And that fucking broad Jenny.
Let's not turn this into, because I don't want to hate, because I'm gonna be in a bad mood the rest of the day if I think about Jenny. And
okay, I respect that. But
all right, too late.
Jesse Plemons was in Vice, and he was in other shit. I don't remember, though.
Kirsten Dunst was in Interview with a Vampire when she was like fucking 8 years old or something.
She was in Jumanji. She was like nine. She was in Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind.
I wonder how that affects you as like an actor, to like be a child actor that evolves into like a normal actor.
That actually makes it.
Yeah, that actually like makes it, like gets past the child stuff.
I don't know. Because it doesn't really have that, doesn't happen that often. Fuck, man.
She's one of them. Another one I think is Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah Wood was in a lot of stuff when he was a kid.
Christian Bale.
Yeah, Christian Bale.
No, there's a lot of them, but I just mean like, I think we always think of like the huge ones, like obviously Fell Dog.
Yeah.
And like, you know,
Feldman, Corey Haim, like the ones that don't make it.
But you also have to remember, like, Macaulay Culkin, he's been retired since like 2002. When he was like 20, or like as soon as he turned 18, he got like a ton of money from, you know, from working for like 18 years as an actor. And he said just from the Home Alone movies, he's never had to work again in his whole life. And I'm like,
man, have you seen Party Monster?
Okay, yeah, but I didn't say
that
he was
so fucking good. Him and Seth Green are like such fucking weirdo creeps.
Do him and Seth Green do everything together?
And they kill fucking Wilmer Valderrama. They kill Fez from That 70s Show.
I love Seth Green. I didn't know he created Robot Chicken.
Yeah, he created Robot Chicken. He was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
He was in all the Austin Powers
movies. He was in Without a Paddle.
Yeah.
All the Austin Power movies.
Executive produces a lot of shit, too.
I loved in Austin Powers when, because he's Dr. Evil's son, when yeah. they're on Springer. They get in a fight on Springer, him and Mini-Me or some shit.
Well, no, it's like him trying to like get him to love him. And then like Dr. Evil gets into a fight with one of the like Nazis who are like, calls him a bad parent. Like somebody starts biting him on the leg and he's like, he's biting me. This fucker's biting me.
Yeah, this fucker's like, biting me. Slaps
Joel Stringer and shit.
I loved, we have to watch, I think, do an episode on, I think we should watch it in real time or at least part of it and do an episode on either The Cat in the Hat or How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
That, I think the Grinch one would be amazing.
So do I. I watched one on The Cat in the Hat and I was like, I forget how fucked this movie is. Except the guys that did it were absolutely obliterated. They made it into a drinking game. But I don't think that worked for How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Me, Christian, you, and Jake, we all just like, every time we watch that movie and the part where his face like goes across the screen.
I wish I could do that to my screen right now.
It's like a fucking syphilitic fever dream as Christian describes it. It's so goddamn funny.
Did you see me move my screen at all? I don't know if it works like that.
What, your screen?
Can you see this?
No.
Oh, okay. So on the recording, it's just going to be me and I'm dragging my screen in circles. I'm still getting used to the Zoom thing, but we're already about an hour in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's fucking crazy, but I think it's working well. I'm just hoping that I can extradite it, you know, or extract it correctly. Because I recorded it as audio files as well, so that we can do whatever with those. So I'm hoping we can get up and running. And I've been looking around. We're still thinking about getting, are we still thinking about getting a camera?
I don't know, man. It just, let's just keep doing it and sort of see how it goes, because I know that like editing this has been enough trouble for us.
Yeah.
And we also rely a lot on Ramon to really bring the thunder with the quality of the audio and everything.
Clean it up.
Yeah. So like for our next episode, like I know we don't like want to fuck with a topic, but like, I feel like we really did well with the GG Allen. So do you want to do like people?
No, yeah, I was about to say, I think we should do a topic, but I just think we need to make it, what's that?
Let's do Malcolm X.
Yeah, I just think we need to make it fun. Malcolm X is a good one, because we have to have something interesting, because I just feel like when it's just, like the Hollywood Shootout one was good, but I also felt it was kind of lacking, because we're also just reading events, and they're all serious, so we have to like come up on the fly compared to like, if our content well, that we're
also
reading.
Like our first fucking episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I also forget that we're 6 episodes in.
Yeah, like we're not professionals at this yet.
Yeah. So yeah, we could probably do Malcolm X. I don't see why not.
Yeah, let's do that one next.
How
does tomorrow's Thursday? You want to do it Friday?
That should work. We can do a.
I'll come in person.
Yeah, that'll work. Or I was thinking, I'm looking at my bookshelf. Orson Welles would be a decent one.
I like that. Fucking we.
I think Orson Welles
would be it on a. What? Who did Gary Oldman play?
Mank.
Mank. Oh my god! I would
That's
love
a good one.
One of Mank.
Yeah, but, fuck, dude, we could do these on anybody, really. Or, like, we just know, we know of some interesting people, and maybe our listeners don't know about them, so that's a way to introduce them to them. Because I'm sure some people didn't know who G.G. Allin was.
Probably.
Or didn't have, obviously, that knowledge that they do now. How this man attempted suicide every Halloween for 5 years, and he was in jail every single Halloween.
Yeah, I think we could do that on I think Malcolm X would be a great one.
Yeah, I don't see why I wouldn't. Unless, I mean, we could also just shoot each other ideas every time. I don't know, we could do different topics. I don't know, I just feel like we don't have a big enough audience to ask yet.
Well, I know I've had a couple people ask me for, like, the intro songs.
Oh, yeah. If we do have an intro on this, it's probably too late now, but I think you want to do Souls of Mischief on this one?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
We don't have to mention it every time. Because they can figure it out. They're fucking listening. So. What are you doing? What are you doing here? You're listening, but you're not paying attention. That's what you're doing. You put it on the background just to give us the view.
I see you.
That's our audience. That's our audience, man.
That's our audience, man. We got to love them. We got to appreciate them.
Put it on. Turn the sound on. Go about your day.
Yeah. You know, just listen to our sweet, soothing, nasally, sniffy voices.
Yeah. Our mental illness manifestos that we give, that we have to share.
Physical tick of sniffing.
We have to share it with people, this trauma and this torture. But
all right, man. So Friday.
Yep, I think so. But that'll about do it for this episode, I think.
Yeah, this is like a come down, chill out episode.
Yeah, we're doing this is a bit shorter than the last. I think any episode. I think the blackout one is pretty short, but this one's.
Well, I also think the one we did last time where Christian passed out was pretty short.
Well, no, you have to remember before that, I recorded about 25 minutes of us talking before I looked at you guys and I said, you're not going to believe, don't be mad. You're not going to believe this. Don't be mad, Justin.
I just met you and this is crazy. I haven't been recording. Don't hit me, maybe.
Yeah, I'm singing in the rain. I'm singing in the rain.
All right, man. I'm going to head out, okay?
All right, Justin.
All right.
All right, I'll to our audience, we'll catch you guys hopefully next week or next episode. So hope you enjoyed.
All right, keep listening, guys.
Hang tight.
Later.